This is Ozarks at Large. Last night, an estimated 750 people sat inside the Fayetteville Town Center to hear six young people explain what it's like to grow up in America, but not be, on paper at least, American. The discussion, titled Undocumented, Living in the Shadows, was sponsored by the University of Arkansas, and U of A Chancellor G. David Gerhart served as the moderator.
Let me be clear. The University of Arkansas does not condone illegal immigration. As an individual, however, I and many of my associates at the university do support immigration reform, and I am personally an advocate of the DREAM Act.
The DREAM Act is a legislative proposal that would allow undocumented persons to remain in the United States after meeting a series of requirements. Though last night's panel was not specifically about the DREAM Act, the topic received plenty of attention. Carlos Saavedra, one of the six panelists, told the audience about the DREAM Act.
It has five key requirements. The first one is that you must have entered the country before the age of 15. The second one is that you have lived in the country for at least 5 years, so 5 years of residing that you have lived in this country. Three, that you have graduated from high school or have gotten a GED or something equivalent towards that. Fourth, that you have good moral character, meaning that you haven't been convicted of any serious felony. And fifth, that you either attend college or serve in the military for a period of 2 years.
Carlos Saavedra was, like the other five panelists, born outside the U.S. and came with his family to the country as a youngster. He was 12 when he left Peru, and he grew up in Massachusetts. Others on stage last night came to the country younger, like Zesna Garcia. She was 3 when her family left Mexico, and she grew up in Bentonville. She's a junior at the University of Arkansas, and it should be noted, has worked this year as an intern at KUAF. She told the audience that the DREAM Act proposal would allow undocumented college students and undocumented college graduates a chance to contribute fully to the country.
I do want to let everyone know that the money that everyone puts into our education whenever we're going through kindergarten through senior year, that money is being lost if we are not allowed to continue our education. We are your investment. All of us pay taxes. No one is saved from that. And all of the money that goes into our public schools is being wasted whenever we are not allowed to continue on with our education. We are losing an investment, essentially.
Chancellor Gerhart said the panel was not just designed to discuss legislative questions, but to provide an insight to what an undocumented life is like. He asked the six when they learned they were undocumented. Cesar Vargas, who grew up in Brooklyn after his family left Mexico when he was 5, explained that he met the reality of his status after 9/11.
It was just like I got it right after high school, and my first reaction was, I went to the Marine enlistment office in Brooklyn. I knew the call of duty, for my country. And it was there that basically, just provide us your document, your social security. I was like, well, I don't have it. I want to come here to fight for my country. And it was at that moment, really, that struck that I wasn't like my friends.
Peruvian-born Jonathan Chavez of Rogers says he fully understood what undocumented meant for him during his senior year of high school.
The moment when it really hit me that I was an undocumented student was when I was a senior in high school and I wanted to apply for scholarships. I had a great GPA. I was overcommitted in multiple things. And many of the applications asked you to be either a U.S. citizen or resident. And basically, that lowered my chances of getting a scholarship to 5 to 7%. So it was a very frustrating moment in time when I finally realized I am a undocumented student and I'm limited.
His personal story took a dramatic twist 2 years ago when a visit to his mother in Florida resulted in several weeks detention when he was discovered by immigration officials to be undocumented. Jonathan, an opera singer in training, eventually made it back to Northwest Arkansas to work on his degree, but there is still a possibility he could be deported when done at the UA. With the potential of being removed from the country, panelists were asked why they agreed to participate in such a public forum. admitting their undocumented status. Isabel Castillo, who grew up in and lives in Virginia, was the first to respond.
I guess I'd have to say that I'm undocumented and no longer afraid. And I feel that the more open we are about our status, the safer we are. And I always like to use the example of, say, Juan and Maria, and they're both undocumented. And Maria's very open about her status, and she volunteers, and she's a great leader, and she's just an amazing person overall. And Juan is very reserved about his status and ashamed, and he doesn't want anyone to know about him. And if both of them are put in deportation proceedings, most people are going to say, well, wait, we know Maria. We don't want her to be sent back to her country, right, to wherever she's from, even though she's grown up here all her life. And she's going to have this great support. But if we say, can you help Juan, most people are going to say, well, who's Juan? I don't know him.
The truth sets you free. So I'm documented and unafraid.
That voice belongs to Rosa Velasquez of Daquin, Arkansas. She's lived in the southern Arkansas town since her family moved there from Mexico when she was 5. Now enrolled at both Henderson University and Harding University, she's pursuing a pair of master's degrees. She's a co-founder of the Arkansas Coalition for DREAM, a group working for the adoption of the DREAM Act. During the discussion, she detailed how an undocumented resident is able to attend and pay for a college education.
Sometimes it takes a little bit longer because you work a semester, you go to school a semester, you work a semester, you go to school. It'll take you twice as long, but like Cessna said, if you want it, you're going to fight for it and you're going to get it.
There were several questions submitted to the panelists, some via email, Facebook, and Twitter over the last few weeks, and some written down on cards by members in the audience during the proceedings. Some of those questions came from individuals or groups with strong public stands against the ratification of the DREAM Act.
This comes from Jan Lee of the Secure Arkansas organization. Was quoted as saying that her group is upset that undocumented immigrants receive government aid. She was quoted as saying that undocumented immigrants are, and I quote, demanding benefits that American citizens are not getting, end quote. Now, let's clear things up for our audience. What benefits are you getting that American citizens don't get?
I'm not getting anything.
Are there any?
The reality is that undocumented immigrants do not qualify for government aid. You have to have a Social Security number for that. And so undocumented immigrants don't qualify for any of that. In fact, immigrants pay taxes. Last year, we paid $11.2 billion in taxes.
Other questions were more procedural in nature. What's the process for obtaining a visa? How do you become a citizen? Isabel Castillo, who has her degree in social work, addressed the latter.
The reality is that for most of us, there's no line for us to get in. There's just absolutely no line. My stepfather is a U.S. citizen, and he applied for me in 2004. But our immigration is so complex. It's so broken that it all depends where you came from, what country you're from, how you entered, but especially for Mexicans, it's very difficult. And right now they're reviewing applications from 1993. There's a priority date. And my petition's 2004, so I mean, I might be dead by the time they get to my application, to be honest with you.
Other questions were more personal. How did friends react when they learned you were undocumented? Or what plan do you have if picked up by immigration officials? Again, Isabel Castillo.
Are you advised?
We would start an education not deportation campaign, a public campaign saying, please don't deport Isabel or don't deport Rosa. And we would ask everyone to sign the petition to make a call to ICE. And that's the reality. A lot of undocumented youth are put in deportation proceedings for minor things like a broken taillight or speeding. I mean, how many of us haven't sped, right? But families are being separated for the smallest things. And that's why we feel like, you know, if people know your situation, there will be help out there. So that's what I would do.
In his role as moderator, Chancellor Gearhart said he wanted to address concepts some people expressed in angry emails sent to the university in advance of the panel discussion.
Let me take this another step. The other question that are on a lot of people's minds that you hear about is that you as undocumented people are taking jobs away from U.S. citizens, that because you're here, American citizens are not able to get jobs in certain areas. Any comments on that?
I actually just want to recount the story of my buddy from Arizona. He graduated from the Arizona State University, and he was like, you know what? I need to work. So what he did is actually he started his own computer business, and you know, over 2 months ago, he hired the first U.S. citizen of his business. So, and that's just a very modest example, the potential we can do. You know, so that really goes to show you like how we can contribute. So you know, we're not stealing. We can create even more jobs.
The tenor of some of the emails over the last week sent to the university resulted in a more visible security detail than at almost any other university-related event. But the chancellor said there was never a thought given to cancellation. He mentioned that while all of the panelists were Latino, an effort was made to include undocumented persons of other backgrounds, but those contacted declined to participate. To be sure, the crowd at the Fayetteville Town Center was a very supportive, friendly one. The chancellor and the panelists both received enthusiastic standing ovations. Toward the end of the nearly 90-minute session, one man in the back of the room stood up to speak. He praised the panelists for their hard work, but criticized the format for not being a debate, and he challenged any or all of the panelists to take part in a face-to-face debate over immigration issues. Panelists said they'd love to see that happen. The chancellor told the crowd he hoped no matter their personal stands on immigration issues, that they did learn something over the course of the evening. Cesar Vargas explained that he thought everybody in the big room could at least relate to the undocumented experience.
For myself, you know, New York is my home. You know, I grew up watching the Yankees. I grew up, you know, disliking the Boston Red Sox. No offense. You know, I grew up, you know, the streets, my neighborhood. That's who I am. That's me. It's like someone ripping you out of your family and never seeing them again. That's what the real feeling is. That's what the real, you know, experience is. Getting ripped out of your home that you have cultivated memories throughout your life.
This is Ozarks at Large.